John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, this is God's word eternally true. And I'll speak extra loud for those of you who are in bowling zone back there. And if you need to, if anyone needs to just come up front, don't worry about that. I don't get bothered by stuff. If you need in the middle of the sermon, come up and just sit closer. That's fine by me. But I'll project here. John chapter 1, verse 1, this is God's word eternally true. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness testifying concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here ends our reading. There's a response of thankfulness that's printed for you in your bulletin, or no, it's not. It's not there. You'll have to look up. I know it's really hard. Probably haven't memorized it yet, but it is up here. the word of the Lord. Thanks indeed. Let's pray. Our God, you know, living in this world, you know, in this building right now, we're a minority. Most people in the world are not Christians. Now, people are in nations that have Christianity as its background, but in terms of people who are born of the Spirit, who worship and follow the one true God, who spend their Sunday mornings worshiping him, that we're a small group among a much larger group in the world. You all left neighborhoods this morning where most people were still in their homes and not planning on going anywhere that had something to do with the worship of the one true God. And that was a little bit of the consternation into which John wrote his gospel. The three other gospels had already been written. John and his readers were probably aware of them all. They'd all been written about 30 years plus before this. And so John comes around and says, what else do God's people need to know? And God sees that and inspires these things that John communicates in John's gospel to his people. And one of the questions they had, being people, it seems like, as we read the gospel of John, from a Jewish background, one of the questions they had is, why, with Jesus giving all these proofs in his teaching, but in his miracles, why is it that our brothers and sister Jews, why didn't they believe? Why are we a minority among the Jews who should have seen all these things and said, this is what the Old Testament spoke of. This is what we were looking forward to. And among our contemporaries now in AD 90, probably, most Jews don't believe. Why is it? And that's why John writes this book, explaining why most Jews in the first century and on into our day haven't believed. But we can, even from our non-Jewish background, we sit in the same shoes as the Jewish believers to whom John wrote. We look around and say, why am I the only person in my family who believes? Or why am I the only person on my street who believes? Why am I a minority? Why is there bowling going on Sunday morning? And be gracious with these folks here. I mean, love them. And you'll find out why in the sermon, why we love them. Okay, but this is not how it should be. Everything should stop on this day of the week, and we should do what we really could be doing all 7 days, but God says, well, reserve one for me to give me worship and thanks and praise and to consider me. So as you go into your week of working and serving people, you'll do that for my glory and because you understand they bear my image. So in your introduction there, if you like filling out blanks in an outline, that'll help you work through this. If you want to just listen, that's fine too. But that's what we're talking about. Most people, that's your blank there, most people have not become Christians. This was true in the days of Jesus on earth, right? Jesus is on the cross and he doesn't have a majority group of people there saying, hey, get him down from there. most people have not believed during Jesus' days on earth, and they follow him, as you'll see in John 6, because he gave them bread, physical bread. But they really hadn't believed, and when he started talking about more spiritual things, most of them left there from that scene in John 6. But most people have not become Christians. They didn't become Christians in Jesus' day. They didn't follow him. Throughout the first century, this is true. Here John is writing 60 years after the death of Jesus. And still it's the case that most Jews have not been convinced that Jesus is the king, that God sent from heaven, that Jesus is God himself coming from heaven to save God's people as he always had promised to do from Old Testament times. It was true 60 years after that most Gentiles didn't believe either. Christians were a minority by far in the first century. So this has always been true. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Narrow is the path, small is the gate, and only a few find it, this path to eternal life. Most enter through the wide gate and travel on the broad road that leads to destruction. Most enter through it, Jesus said there in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. So we talked about last week, as we looked at this text, a few things just to get us up to speed. This will be fast. Number one, John brings up here that Jesus is not only, as we had been talking about for a month or so prior to this, Jesus is not only the human son of David. You saw that there in Matthew, didn't you? The two blind men, they called Jesus son of David. They understood he was the king. Okay, David's sons were the kings over God's people. So John brings this out in chapter 1. Jesus was not only a son of David, descended from David in his humanity, coming from David's line and properly anointed as king by John the Baptist, who pointed people to Jesus in part by that baptism, which was an anointing of Jesus as king. But John brings out that Jesus is the Son of God from heaven, the eternal Son of God from heaven. And that's your first point there. Jesus is eternal God who came to earth from heaven. And so that's shown by John in verses 1 through 3. Jesus was the Word, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among him and we saw him. But this Word is God himself. And Jesus was God, and he was with the Father from the beginning. There was not a time when Jesus didn't exist. And so when we saw Jesus, John says, when he dwelled among us, this was not Jesus new from 27 years ago or 30 years ago. This was eternal God with no beginning, who came to earth and dwelled among us. And so we're to understand that. But this is the thing that people don't believe. That Jesus is eternal God. He's not just another man. He's not just a religious teacher. He's not a Jewish man who deserves to be put on the cross, to put it in the opinion of most Jews during the writing of the Gospel of John. Just a Jewish man who deserved to be put on a cross, a blasphemer. But Jesus is eternal God who came to earth from heaven. Now, number two, As we said, most people don't believe. Most people don't believe. And Jesus said this, here's a SAT word for you who are still in high school, axiomatically. It's an axiom. It's something that's true all the time. Okay? You physicists see axioms too, don't you? Isn't that a thing in physics? Yeah, axioms. Something that's always true. It's proverbial. Something that's always true. It's just out there. It's always the case. And Jesus said this, if, you know, and Paul said it in 2 Timothy 3:16, something axiomatic. He said, and indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted because you'll be the minority. Or Jesus said, as I mentioned in Matthew 7:13 and 14, you know, enter, he says, enter through the narrow gate, the small gate, because most enter through the wide gate. Most are on the broad road. You know, the inspiration for the AC/DC song, which is a great song with terrible words. Yeah, the highway. Most are on the highway to hell. The throughway, four lanes on each side, 70 miles per hour. Most enter through it. So most people don't believe. From last week, we learned one reason why, and that's your A point, just to mention it. They don't believe. They're not believers because they can't. They can't believe because they do not have spiritual life. So last week we talked about how people are born spiritually dead, but that Jesus gives them spiritual life. And then they can hear with their ears, see with their eyes, believe with their hearts, and understand. But last week we talked about this life aspect and how Jesus in John 1, John brings up to our, in front of our faces and in our minds, that in him was life. He says there in verse 2 or 3, right? Verse 4, in him was life. And that Jesus had been granted by the Father, John chapter 5, 21 and 20, 26, that Jesus had been granted by the Father to have life in himself and to give life to whom he was pleased to give it. And the reason why people don't believe is they are spiritually dead. And so the gospel comes and it's like talking to a person in an open casket. They don't respond. And so that's what the gospel is like to a person who's spiritually dead. They hear the word, they hear the words. Well, they don't hear the words. The words bounce off their head, you know, if you could see the sound waves, but they don't hear them and they don't respond. They don't have the ability to hear and believe. Now, letter B, that's this week, what we're talking about this week, letter B. Why else don't people believe? How else does God put this? What does he, how does he shed light on this? That's a foreshadowing there. They don't and can't believe because they are in spiritual darkness. They're in spiritual darkness, and that's why they don't believe. They're in spiritual darkness, so they can't see, which in the Bible means understand. We use it that way too. They're in spiritual darkness, so they can't see, they can't understand spiritual things. They see physically, but are blind spiritually. And Jesus says in John 12:46, he says, if anyone follows me, they'll walk in the light. I won't let them continue on in the darkness. And Jesus, that was the last verse that Jim read for us this morning. Everyone's in spiritual darkness, in an environment of spiritual darkness, except my people, Jesus says. Those who are following me, I am providing for them light, and they see spiritual things. They understand spiritual things. Thank you, Mike. So we use this term all the time. When you're explaining something to somebody, you typically don't say, understand? What do you say? See? First you do this, and then you put this over here. Then you screw it in. See? See is a synonym. It's a figure of speech, figurative, not literal. It's a figurative thing. See, we use that word all the time to mean understand, to know and to understand. Okay, and so that's what we see here all through the Gospel of John. This idea of sight being more than just having things from light waves hitting your rods and cones in the back of your eyes and having a message sent to your brain that says, that is a Christina there. But that's what, and so scripture uses it that way. Just as we say, see, and we mean understand, scripture does the same. Scripture does the same thing. This is what Jesus spoke of, quoting Isaiah in Matthew 13. That was the trail end of the parable of the sower and the soils. Jim read it for us this morning. And Jesus said, the disciples are saying, you know, what's this mean? And Jesus said, this is what Isaiah talked about. You know, and when we spoke to Isaiah in his time, in his era, as he's talking during the time of like Hezekiah and before, it's about 700 BC. He commissions Isaiah to be a prophet for him, and he says, you're going to speak things, and no one's going to understand. They're going to see with their eyes, but not see with their hearts. They're going to hear with their ears, physically hear, but not hear with their hearts and understand. And so they won't turn and believe, Isaiah, but you better preach this. But if they do turn and understand, I'll heal them. And so this is what Jesus says in response to the disciples saying, why are you talking in parables? Nobody gets it. Nobody understands. Nobody sees. And he says, they don't get it because they don't have spiritual sight. They don't have light. They are existing in darkness. I was in my crawl space a bunch yesterday. Got some dehumidifiers in the crawl space. And I was checking to make sure they were working. They're not. but they've got, you know, little, I had to buy a new one last night off of Amazon. But they've got little things on the top. And so there's like this much space between the insulation and the top there. Now the fans all are on the side, so that's okay. You engineers, relax. but I'm trying to see this, and I've got a little light on the end of the bill of my cap, but then I've got trifocals, and so I'm trying to do this, but then the light goes up, and that kind of thing, and I can't see. And finally, this one that I was pretty sure wasn't working, I had to drag it out like 50 feet out of my crawl space. And my crawl space at the highest point I can kneel, and the top of my head will hit the rafter. So it's all crawling around stuff. But I had to get it out in the full light to see what the dials meant on the top, because I couldn't quite read them because it was too dark. I couldn't see. I couldn't understand. When I pushed this, what was that doing? Is that setting it on the 2-hour, 4-hour timer? Or is that putting it on continuous? Is that changing the amount of humidity I'll allow in the crawl space? Whatever. But you need to have light to be able to see. And this is what scripture is getting at. So Jesus says there in Matthew 13, you'll be ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. So there's an understanding issue. There's a perceiving issue here that causes people not to believe. So number one there, B1, for you Bananas fans there. When a person sits in a completely dark room, just a few things about darkness. When a person sits in a completely dark room and tries to evaluate something, okay, get the picture, completely dark room, and they're trying to evaluate something like a dehumidifier or whatever. I was fixing a sliding door, like a pocket door recently, and I couldn't quite see the mechanism up there. But once I got right up there and put some light on it, I could see it, and then I could fix it. But if you can't see, if you're in a completely dark room and try to evaluate something, three things. A, you misevaluate, so he misevaluates or incompletely assesses it. If you're in a completely dark room, you misevaluate what's in the room, or you incompletely assess it, and you don't understand it. So you might be able to feel around, say, in that dark room and say, oh, this is a chair. I think this chair is blue. You don't know. It's a guess, and you misevaluate. Second thing, B, if you're in a completely dark room, you often don't know something's even there, right? If you're just sitting there in a dark room, you can't see anything. You don't even know it's there to even start evaluating it, or that it exists to start evaluating it. And then C, if there's another person in the room, just bear with me, assume the person's being quiet. If there's another person in the room, he will not be able to recognize who it is. Could be your best friend, could be someone you've never seen before. If the room is completely dark and they're not speaking, you can't recognize who's in the room with you. Maybe you can hear someone moving around, say, who's there? Right? You can't evaluate appropriately. You can't recognize who's in the room. So, number two, the person in darkness is functionally blind. And so John gets at this, Jesus gets at this, and all these kinds of languages. You know, in darkness, that's one. Not having light, not understanding, and then being blind. Okay, so being in complete darkness, functionally, you're blind. You can't use your eyes to understand anything. So number three, person in the dark is functionally blind. Number three, Jesus and the writers of Scripture teach us with clarity that all are born, okay, bear with me here, some are born blind, like the man in John 9, but all are born, physically born, in spiritual darkness. Scripture is very clear about this. Jesus is very clear about this. John is very clear about this. Isaiah is very clear about this. People are physically born in spiritual darkness and are functionally blind to spiritual things. That's the natural state of men and women, boys and girls. Physically alive, physically, typically can see, spiritually blind. Cannot see, in utter, complete darkness, unable to see, and what the Bible means is not able to understand things that aren't physical. Okay? So we see this in verse 5. Look at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. At this point, it's talking about Jesus. Okay? In him was life, and that light was the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, what? Understood it. Okay, darkness doesn't understand. Colossians 1:13. Look at the front of your bulletin. Very first thing you've got here under the congregational response on the call to worship. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. This is Scripture declaring that people, until they're rescued by Jesus, are in the kingdom of darkness. They are in spiritual darkness. And anything that's in their room, so to speak, that is spiritual, they cannot see because they are in utter spiritual darkness. And perhaps they don't even know it's there. Maybe they know something's there, or they have an inkling something's there, but they can't identify it. They can't recognize it. Because they are in spiritual darkness. And so Scripture is teaching us this about unbelief. Why is there unbelief? Because people are in spiritual darkness. They can't see what we see. We're in the room and the lights are on. Or we've got, what's the military have? Night vision goggles. So we're seeing everything and nobody can see it but us. For us, the lights are on in the room. And we're saying, can't you see Jesus? And He's right here. Does it make any sense that he's had people following him for 2,000 years, declaring him to be raised from the dead, that he has followers who his disciples didn't abandon their faith when Jesus was killed? They went out and they one-upped it and they said, he rose from the dead and I touched him. He physically rose from the dead. Kill me if you must, but I won't lie about his resurrection. And all the disciples die because of their faith in Jesus, except for John, who apparently dies a natural death, but all the others are martyred. They're killed for their faith, and they will. All they have to do is say, "Okay, I give up. Jesus isn't, you know, raised from the dead." Doesn't make any sense that the church is around if Jesus isn't raised from the dead. Paul says our faith is useless if Jesus isn't raised from the dead. If Jesus declared, which he did over and over again to his disciples, something like 13 times before the cross happened, he declares to them over and over, "I will rise on the third day," and he doesn't do it. Do the disciples go out and proclaim that? No, they feel deceived, is what happens. And they don't tell anyone else to follow Jesus because they feel foolish. And they just want people to forget about the fact, like Peter in the high priest's courtyard. He doesn't want people to know that he's a follower of Jesus. He's ashamed. So people are functionally blind. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see." They cannot see the light of the gospel. When did that happen? Well, that happened in the garden. Okay? Spiritual death happened. Spiritual blindness happened. And we carry on that trait from Adam, not of brown eyes or black hair or whatever we have, but we carry on that trait of spiritual blindness, born into spiritual blindness. The God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ. So A there, 3A. Both in Jesus' day on earth and today, unbelievers who are spiritually in a totally dark room, this is all believers, they're in a spiritually totally dark room, misevaluate or incompletely assess the things they hear about Jesus. Understand this, a person in the darkness will have wrong conclusions about the things in the room. Is Jesus here now? Yes. He's here. He's with us. But if you don't have light, if you're in the darkness, you don't see him. You don't understand that he's here. You don't understand that he's living. You don't understand that all of us in this room are different because he is living. You don't understand that all of us are conforming to a certain pattern of how we live because he's our king reigning from the right hand of God, and we follow our king. What's your law, Jesus? And we follow it. And that's what makes us different or set apart or holy, to use the religious word for that. So unbelievers cannot see the things in the room. They cannot understand what's truly there because they cannot see. So John 3:3. Nicodemus says, "Wow, you're doing all this stuff, but I don't get it." And Jesus cuts to the chase, not the Blake, the chase. He cuts to the chase and says, "Unless a man be born again," what comes after that? He cannot what? What can't he do? What don't you have the ability to do unless you're born again? See. Here's why you don't understand, Nicodemus, and this is what Jesus chides Nicodemus with in verse 10. You're a teacher of Israel, and you don't understand, keyword, you don't understand these things? Why doesn't Nicodemus understand? Because verse 3, unless you're born again, you cannot see. You cannot understand the kingdom of God. You can't understand that the king comes and is born in a manger. And that he's despised from the people. And that's what Isaiah 53 is talking about. That God's king, the son of David, is despised and rejected by his own people and put to death. That's why you're confused, Nicodemus, that I haven't come in glory. You've got this inkling. Nicodemus comes to believe. We'll see that at the end of John. But you've got this idea in your head that the God's king, the son of David, will come in glory and he'll reign from the throne in Jerusalem, and the nations will stream to him and everyone will recognize him. And Nicodemus is confused and he's like, but you've got a few disciples and I'm having to come to you at night? Probably, Nicodemus, coming at night because all the ruling council didn't believe in Jesus. And he's a little bit scared, like the blind man's parents in John 9. Because they knew the ruling council didn't believe in Jesus, and the ruling council had made it known, if you follow Jesus, you'll be put out of the temple, not allowed to come in here. So Nicodemus, you don't understand. Yeah, you can't see the kingdom of God because you need to be given sight. You're in spiritual darkness. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You don't have that ability to see. So it happens with Jesus in our day. He's misevaluated over and over, not only during the time of his presence on earth during the first century, but during our day as well. Think about the ways Jesus is misevaluated. In his final trial before the ruling council, he's evaluated as a blasphemer. In John 9 that we read, they say, we don't even know where he comes from. Well, in John 6, the people are saying, but he can't be our king. He's from Galilee. It's commonly known that Jesus is from Galilee, but the ruling council is confused. They also say, remember what they say to the blind man? We know this man is a sinner. I think that's a misevaluation. They're in darkness. But what happens to this man who now sees? Jesus finds him and says, do believe in the Son of Man, which is, we'll get to it later, but it's basically a synonym for the Son of God, or the Son of God come to earth, who's the Son of David. It's all that wrapped in one. Do believe in the Son of Man? And what's the response? I believe. And he bows down and worships him. Not only does this man have physical sight now, he has spiritual sight. And that's what Jesus is doing, especially when he heals blind men. He's showing there's, yes, physically, but there's a spiritual way in this is in which this is true as well. So Jesus is misevaluated. Some say he's the Christ. Others say, how can we be the Christ come from Galilee? Jesus is called all kinds of things. He's just the carpenter's son. He's frequently called just a prophet. Who do you think he is? Oh, I think he's a prophet. Okay, now Jesus had that role, but that's not all of who he is. He's called rabbi, teacher, as I said, sinner. But people aren't evaluating. They're not doing a complete evaluation of who he is. This is God come to earth. And yes, he's king and he's prophet and he's teacher and he's rabbi, but he's not just any of those one things. But everyone thinks he's just one of those things. If you ask a friend today who's kind toward Christianity who you think Jesus is, they'll probably say, well, I think he was a good teacher. It's a pretty safe response there. That's a response of someone who's in spiritual darkness. Okay? And so that's why they don't believe. That's why they're out there and not in here. So B, people naturally don't and can't recognize who Jesus is, and that is he is the Son of God whom they need. So verse 5 here, look at verse 5 again. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So people, unless they've been pulled out, rescued from spiritual darkness, Colossians 1, 12 through 14, unless they've been rescued from the darkness that they've been born into spiritually, they see Jesus and they don't understand him. But look at verse 10 there. Here's the issue. He was in the world. Jesus was God Almighty, eternal God. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Because they're sitting in a dark room and they can hear Jesus fiddling around with something over there, but they can't tell who it is. They can't discern, this is the Son of God whom I need. This is my future judge. I will face him one day at that last day. They don't recognize him. And that's the problem. So verse 10 there, you know, he's in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Verse 11, he came to that which was his own, the Jews, but his own did not receive him. So see how this isn't talking about receiving Jesus into your heart like we talk about it as American evangelicals. This is talking about the Jews. They didn't receive Jesus as their king. They didn't hail him as their king. They didn't exalt him as their king. Instead of receiving him as their king, instead of receiving him as Son of God come from heaven, who's Son of David to be king over us, they reject him and they put him on a cross. Why? Because they can't recognize him. What did Peter and John say about Jesus? Only through the name of Jesus. He's the only name. He's the only name given among men by which men may be saved. And they saw him, but they didn't see him. They heard him, but they didn't hear him. They saw with their eyes, but they didn't see with their hearts. They did not understand. They did not understand. They were in darkness. They did not recognize who Jesus was. And that's true today. A lot of people, especially if you're in a country like ours with a Christian background, a lot of people know some things about Jesus, but they don't recognize him for who he is. So see. So people, they incompletely assess things because they're in spiritual darkness. They may not know, they misevaluate him. They don't recognize who Jesus is because they're in darkness. They can't see the contours of his face, how you know, tall he is. They don't know it's Jesus there, so to speak. And then see, yet unbelievers claim and believe, they really believe this when they claim it. Unbelievers claim and believe they see it all. They believe they're seeing everything. They claim they're seeing everything. They say, well, I see all I need to see and that I'm evaluating Jesus correctly and that you're a fool. So that's why unbelievers look at us as they do. They don't know they're blind. That's the problem with the Pharisees as Jesus concludes his time in the temple when he's healed this blind man, this man born blind from birth. He says that these people, the Pharisees, are blind, and they respond, are you saying that we're blind too? In other words, we're not blind. We know you're a sinner. They think they have all the facts. They think they're in a room with light. They think they're seeing everything. And there are all these things that they're not seeing in the room around them. The Pharisees were indignant. John 9:40. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this as Jesus talked about blindness and sight, speaking of the blind man who now saw spiritually. And they say, what are we blind to? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. And so the people around us remain guilty and remain convinced that they're seeing everything. They're blind, they're in darkness, they don't know they're in darkness, and they don't know they're blind. And so they think when they look at spiritual things and when we look at spiritual things that we're seeing the same set. We're seeing all the same stuff. And that they've evaluated correctly and that we've made some mistakes in our evaluation. But what's happening instead is we're seeing 1,000 things and evaluating it correctly, and they're seeing 100. Only the physical stuff. And so then they sit upon us and judge us, just like the Pharisees did to Jesus. Here he is, the giver of light. And they're saying, you're the one in darkness. Unbelievers around you are often like this. They assume they can see. They assume that what you believe is not there. They don't recognize Jesus, but they believe they have all the information and that they have disbelieved in him correctly. So three. Good news. Few people do believe. You know it. You're here. The question given that all are not only spiritually dead, but also spiritually born blind and spiritually born in darkness, is how does anyone believe? That's the question. How does anyone believe if all are born in darkness and can't see? Because we need light to be able to see. So number three, here's your blank here. I believed, you believed the message about Jesus because Jesus gave you light. Jesus gave you light. That's why you see. That's grace right there. You didn't have the ability to see, and you saw. And you didn't have the ability to see, and he looked upon you in mercy, and he gave you light. So look at verse 4. Verse 4. In him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. Okay, here's that that all and everybody and on the whole earth question from Sunday school, if you're in Sunday school. All who see have gotten their light from Jesus. That's what this is communicating here. There's nobody who sees. There's nobody in the light except those who have gotten light from Jesus. Now, verse 7. Look down to verse 7. This is talking about John the Baptist. And John says, John the Apostle says of John the Baptist in verse 7. He came, John the Baptist came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. Through Jesus, you have believed because Jesus gave you light. And so John came to say that. John came to point people to this so Jesus could give people light that they might believe. Verse 9. The true light, Jesus, that gives light to every man. Again, every man who believes. There's no one who's believed who hasn't been given light by Jesus. So the true light, verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And then John 12:46, Jesus said, I came into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And so the reason you as a believer have not stayed in your normal state, stayed in darkness, as Jesus said, is because he came into the world and he gave you light. And with that light, he made you alive, and then he gave you light so you could use your alive eyes in the light to see, to understand spiritual things that your neighbors can't see, don't have the ability to see, and so they don't understand. So A in your outline, 3A. Light, as Jesus and John use it, refers to the ability to understand. So again, people who don't have light don't understand. That's verse 5. B, after Jesus gave you spiritual light, then you could spiritually see. Not before it, but after. After he gave you spiritual light, then you could see and you could properly evaluate Jesus and recognize that key word from verse 10. Jesus comes into the world, he comes to his own, but they did not recognize him. But once Jesus gave you light in your life, when he gave you light, you recognized who he was. You'd heard about him before, maybe you'd been in church a bunch, maybe you hadn't been in church, but you'd heard of Jesus. But once he gave you light, you recognized him. Some of you remember the time it happened. I remember the page I was looking at in the gospel tract as my sister shared it with me. And I understood and I saw for the first time why Jesus died on the cross. And I saw my sins were in his body and he was suffering the penalty that I deserved so that I could be forgiven. I saw for the first time. I had heard Jesus died for your sins. I had heard about heaven. I had heard people believe in Jesus go to heaven. But I hadn't seen it. They were just things I could repeat. Right? And, you know nasty Christian people, right? There are people who are in the church who can't see. Right? There are a lot of people like that. You know, I'm watching right now Victoria. It's the Masterpiece Theater thing. It's on Amazon Prime. It's about Queen Victoria in England. And they're talking about Christian things, and it's like none of them believe. But they're talking about, being Christian people, and we should do this and that kind of thing. There are lots of people, if you've been in the church a while, big box. There are lots of big boxers, but the little box, people who actually see, that's a smaller number. But once Jesus gave you light, if you were in the church, you went from being in that big box, just someone who knew about Jesus, to knowing him, to recognizing him, to understanding. These are all words John is using that describe you as a believer. So you could spiritually see once he gave you that light, and you could properly evaluate Jesus and recognize who he was and believe. 3:3, Nicodemus couldn't see, so he couldn't understand. 3:10. But once you can see, once Jesus gives you light, you can see. The letter C. Christians are those to whom Jesus gave light. So that's another way of putting it. Christians are people those who Jesus has given light. This is why Christians are called in Scripture. Two things that relate to this. They're called in Scripture things like the people of light. Jesus says that in John 12:36. He calls believers the people of light. They're the people in the kingdom of light. They're the people who see, as opposed to the people who are still in the dominion of darkness and living in darkness. And Luke records that Jesus calls believers sons of light. Sons of light. We're the people who see and have light. We have seen and understood who Jesus is. Those still in darkness cannot. And so a person doesn't recognize and believe in Jesus because they're still walking in darkness now. So here are a bunch of applications for you. Knowing this, number four, knowing that belief only comes from Jesus' intervention. You have believed, knowing that you have believed only because Jesus intervened. When you were dead, he made you alive. When you were blind, he made you see. And once he made you see, because he gave you life, you became a person who could see. You were still in darkness, so he gave you light. Now that you understand this, and that people outside the church, that people who haven't believed, they're dead. They can't see. They're in darkness. They can't evaluate. Now that you understand these things, knowing that belief comes only from Jesus' intervention of giving spiritual life and light. So those two things we learn in John 1 that Jesus has given you. He's given you life. He's given you light. And that's why you've believed. And John's first audience is saying, oh, that's why our brother Jews and our sister Jews haven't believed. Jesus didn't give them life. Didn't give them light. It's not because he hasn't provided enough evidence. It's not because he didn't provide enough evidence when he was living on earth. He provided plenty of evidence, which John refers to in John 20:30. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these few that I've given you in this book, I've recorded that you might believe or continue to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you might have life in his name. So only through Jesus' intervention of giving spiritual life and light, and that these things are not abilities a person is born with. So here's what you understand from John 1. The only reason you believed was Jesus gave you light and life, and those who haven't been given life and light, those with whom Jesus has not intervened and changed their abilities and given them light, they don't understand, and that's why they don't understand. They don't disbelieve because they're a bad person and you were a good person. You were a bad person. They were a bad person. You were a blind person. They were a blind person. You were a dead person. They were a dead person. You were a person in darkness. They were a person in darkness. And Jesus came and gave life to whom he desired to give it. And he gave you light. And that's why you saw, and that's why you believed. So understand these things, A, first of all, understand why so many people don't believe. Quit being confused about that. Okay? Understand why so many people don't believe. The light of Jesus and his gospel shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Verse 5. Darkness has understood. So understand this. Don't be perplexed by this. Don't be discouraged that people haven't believed. Don't think that the fact that the majority hasn't believed is reason for you not to believe. That's not the reason. It's like that the majority doesn't know the truth. The majority's blind. The majority's in the darkness, and that's why they don't. That's why they don't believe. So belief is not natural. Know this. It only came to you. It only came to anyone who's believed through the supernatural intervention of Jesus. So understand that. Understand that's why the world is the way it is today. Okay, so that's application one. Application two, B. Understand why unbelievers can be arrogant. Understand why unbelievers can be arrogant in their disbelief and about their disbelief because they don't know they're in darkness. And they think they're seeing everything. So they think they're seeing everything, and they're, according to them, you know, they're making the logical decision. And so they look down at you, they're arrogant, some are, they're arrogant to you, combine this with the sin nature, and one of the fruits of the sin nature is pride, right? And one of the things we do in our sin nature apart from the Spirit is we suppress the truth that Jesus is real, that he's the Son of God, that he's the final judge, and the judgment is coming. And so understand the arrogance, and it's not that they're seeing the same things and coming to a bad decision. They're not seeing what you see. They're in darkness, and they're saying, how can you believe this? You know, some of you are in families where you're the only one who believes, and you believe differently than what your family believed when you were growing up, and they're saying, you're nuts. Why do you believe this now? And so understand that, and understand they're looking down upon you and for your faith. It's because they can't see everything. They think they're seeing everything and that you're an idiot. Okay? So get that. That's what the Pharisees are doing. They don't know the room is totally dark to them. They don't know that they've made a conclusion based on ignorance. Understand their perspective, not having all the facts, and that they still have just their sin nature in them and not the Spirit of God too, so their pride can run rampant. C, next application for you. So we understand why so many people believe. We understand the arrogance and the looking down of those who don't believe upon us because they think they're seeing everything. Then C, be confident in your belief. Be confident in your belief, even in the light of massive unbelief in the world. You have been given light by Jesus, verse 4, verse 9, and therefore can see, unlike Nicodemus in 3:3. So you have evaluated Jesus correctly. You've recognized him, verse 10, verse 12, and received him based on the superior amount of information that you have, that you've been given. Jesus. So don't let a room full of people in darkness yelling that there's no chair in the room cause you to abandon your faith that there's a chair in your that you're in the room that you can clearly see. It's like talking to somebody from the year 1500 who says people up in the air together with 40 other people flying from New York to Los Angeles, there wasn't New York, from London to Athens, ridiculous. Understand where they're coming from. It's the year 1500. They've never seen an airplane. But you, living in 2020, have superior knowledge. You can see, and you've seen all your life, all in view, low and slow, you can see a lot. All these planes look way up in the air, go up in the air and come down from the air and land, and people get out of the plane, and they've been flying around in it. That's what unbelievers are. They're people who don't know planes that people can fly yet. And they're calling you ridiculous for the idea that people can fly. We can see who Jesus is, and they can't. They're in a dark room saying, there's no chair in here, and there are four chairs in here. But they can't see it. So be confident in your faith because you see and they don't. This is really why John is writing the gospel. All the other Jews, they don't believe. But be confident in your faith. Continue in your belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Because you see, your eyes aren't blind. You're in the light. They're in the darkness, and that's why they don't believe. D, be humble about yourself and about your believing. Be humble about yourself and about your believing when you look at non-believers. Okay, that's you. Those unbelievers are you, apart from Jesus' intervention, which you did nothing to merit. You didn't merit Jesus coming and giving you life and light so that you can see. So be humble. Understand that your belief is only because Jesus intervened in your life, and that the non-believers, the difference between you and the non-believer is that Jesus didn't intervene in their life. You have no ability difference between you and the non-believer in your state of disbelief. The only thing that was different was that the Father said, Jesus, him. And Jesus says, I delight to give him life. This is one Father that you've given to me. Here goes. And he sends you his Spirit and gives you eyes to see and ears to hear. So be humble about yourself. Be humble about your believing. Don't look at the non-believer and look down upon them and say, disgusting. Don't look at their lives and what they're doing and look down upon them, because that very well could be you. The only reason you're not walking the way they're walking, you're not living the way they're living, is because Jesus gave you light. And you could see, oh, that's a dangerous part of the room. There are venomous snakes in that corner. But someone walking in darkness walks into the snake pit over there. And then E. Be patient with and pray for your non-believing friends. In view of the fact that they're not believing because they haven't been given light, they can't do anything about that. They can't, any more than you could do anything about that. You didn't pray to Jesus, oh, give me light. Jesus gave you light, and then you looked. You said, wow, this room is bright, when he gave you light. And so be patient with and pray for your non-believing friends, your non-believing family, your non-believing neighbors, all the people around you, your coworkers. Be patient with them. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. And so have that be your goal for them, and be patient with them. Because Jesus, if he's going to give them life and light, he'll do it at just the right time. And so don't despise his timing in the life of an unbeliever. They may come to believe. So be patient and pray for your non-believing friends, relatives, coworkers, and neighbors. And so here's how. Here's how you can interact with non-believers. One, speak to them of Jesus. Jesus told his disciples before he ascended to heaven, Acts 1:8, you are to be my witnesses. So speak to these people who are in darkness. Speak to them about Jesus. Number two, know that they may not have interest. So speak to them about Jesus and know that they may not have interest. That's Matthew 3:18-19. They may be that soil on the path. They may hear it and say, oh, no thanks. Okay? But speak to them. Be a witness for Jesus. They may not have interest, but A, your response then, if they don't have interest, don't be mad. Don't be mad. The world, God's own people, the Jews, had no interest in Jesus being their king. And Jesus' response to them is not anger. It's, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's Luke 23:34. There's patience. Patience with those who say, ah, no, that's not for me. Or, oh, you guys are crazy. I hate Christians. Why are you hanging out with those guys? Be patient. Be patient. Don't be mad. Say, Father, bring forgiveness to this guy. B, understand their disbelief and be compassionate. Be compassionate, right? Like Jesus was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But we saw the example in Matthew 20. The two blind men come to Jesus, and what's it say? Why does Jesus heal them? Because he has compassion on these blind men. He has compassion on these blind men. So we're to be like Jesus. Be compassionate to the blind men and women, boys and girls around you. They're blind. Don't get mad at the person in a wheelchair because he can't run up the stairs. When I was in diapers, I don't know how old I was. It was before, I don't know, 3 years old or something. We had company at our house, and we came back from Don and Bob's in Rochester, New York, eating dinner, and it was pitch black, dark. And in the hubbub of coming back and having company from being out at a restaurant, everybody went inside, and they forgot to bring me inside. And this was 1970, and so no child seats. I was sitting in the front, in the middle, you know, so my mom and dad could, you know, put their, you know, Frank Costanza's dad's move, you know, put the hand out. So I was just sitting there on the front seat in the darkness. And so I had seen my dad, you know, do this with the gear shift. And so I scooted over. The car was parked on a steep hill. And so I pulled that gear shift and went into neutral and went back down the driveway, across down that steep driveway, across the street. It was a neighborhood, Cobbs Hill Drive. And I went into the tree across the street, totaled the car. The next day, the tree service came and they had to remove the tree because it was damaged enough that it was a dangerous thing. But my dad always felt bad, and I never felt bad. I don't really remember, but he said, I came out, we heard the commotion, came out, I went into, you know, opened the front door, and I was yelling at you, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, like you could understand what you were doing. My dad felt guilty till his dying day that he had yelled at me, what are you doing? Okay, so don't do that with the unbeliever in your life. They're a baby in diapers who thinks it's cool to go like this. That makes you a big person. And they're just pulling that. They don't know what the consequences are. And they can't see what the consequences are. They are in darkness. And they're behaving like someone who's in darkness. And walking in ways that bring them harm. And potential great harm. So be compassionate. And then as you're compassionate to the spiritually blind people around you, pray for Jesus to give them light. That's the thing that needs to happen. Pray for Jesus to give them light. I shared about Jesus with them, said something about Jesus to them, and they were like hard soil, the soil on the path. So here, what needs to happen now? They need to have light. They need to have light. So pray that Jesus would give them light, bring them into the light, and don't abandon them. That is, don't abandon them in terms of talking to them. Talk to them again. Because if you talk to them about Jesus and they had no interest, don't say, well, that's it for all eternity. Okay? Pray for them then. Say, they need light. They don't have light. They're not seeing Jesus. I talked to them about something. They said, I don't see it. There's no chair in this room. And they walked away. So pray that Jesus gives them light. And then when you have opportunity again, talk to them again about Jesus. If you have opportunity, talk to them. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because the next time you talk to them, Jesus may give them light, and then they may see. Okay, so speak to them again about Jesus. And this is what Paul says, you know, pray that I may be bold in my talking to people, that I should do it as I should. And then number three, because know that in the future, Jesus may give them light. In the future, Jesus may, even the first time when you talk to them, he didn't give them light, and they still remained in darkness. In the future, he may give them light, right? Think about yourself. How many times did you probably, even growing up in a theologically liberal church, I probably heard enough of the gospel to have believed 20 times before he gave me light. And I went, I see. And so don't give up and talk to people again. Know that in the future, Jesus may give them light, and then seeing, they will believe. So know that in the future, these people who are now in darkness, Jesus may give some of them light, even some that you've talked to and they've shown no interest, and then seeing, they'll believe. Sometimes people talk about the doctrine of election as that's discouraging. It's not discouraging. Because we know all it needs to happen is for Jesus to flip that switch in somebody. And that that switch can be flipped in Saul of Tarsus, who's persecuting the church. Anybody. And that's the point Paul makes in 1 Timothy 1. If I can believe, anyone can believe. Because I'm the chief of sinners. I persecuted the church. So don't give up. Keep praying for people that Jesus, pray to Jesus that Jesus would give these people who are now in darkness light. And then as you have opportunity, talk to them again. Something may change. And that something needs to be that Jesus has given them light. So summary. You have believed because Jesus gave you light to see by. You have believed because Jesus gave you light to see by. Having light, you can see and understand. That's why you understand the gospel. Because Jesus gave you light, now you can see. You can understand who Jesus is. And because you understand who he is, you have believed. You have believed. That's your blank there. Believed. Those Jesus hasn't given light, don't see. Those Jesus hasn't given light, don't see, and therefore haven't believed. It's that clear. And so be compassionate on those who haven't believed yet. Be grateful, be humble about yourselves, because Jesus has done that for you. Let's pray.